Today on Real Life Radio.
When you take your babies to bed and you lie them down, you tell them, wasn't God good to us today? But mommy, this. No, no, God was still good. Because you know what? Those are circumstances. Those are appointments from God. We're supposed to learn something through that hard stuff today. But we got a flat tire and God was showing us something.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. Before we get into today's message, did you know that Pastor Jack has a weekly devotional? And it's sure to help you in your walk with God. Join the thousands of Real Life Radio listeners who've been blessed by Pastor Jack's devotional. Get it at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And now, let's get into the message. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called The Book of Philippians with a message titled, How to Get Rich Quick, Part 2. We're in chapter 4 with verses 10 through 13. Now, in these four verses, the Apostle Paul shares with us what true spiritual richness is and how it can't be lost or taken away. You see, Christians have received an inheritance from God, a spiritual richness that we need to invest wisely. The irritations and pressures of life can get in the way, but if we stay the course, it'll develop our faith and keep us on the right path. So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that there's a reason for our suffering in life. When troubles come, we can indeed expect something amazing to come with it. If we suffer as Christ suffered, we'll also share in His glory. Now with his message called, How to Get Rich Quick, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
Think about how are pearls made. First of all, do you see where pearls come from? If you saw that, where do they come from? What's it called? Oh, an oyster. I was going to say clam. First of all, have you looked at an oyster shell? Is it absolutely ugly? It's insane. And then it's laying on the bottom of the ocean or wherever it's at. Who would touch it? That's why it's in the bottom of the ocean. You leave it alone. Somebody looked at the thing and said, what an ugly thing that is. Let's open it up. And somebody opened it up and there was a pearl inside. And the pearl is the development over time based upon an irritant that's within the oyster. The oyster is in there just ugly and slimy and happy, content. And it's like, what is that thing? And it starts to have a problem and it can't get rid of it. And it's just, and it figures out a way, I gotta cover this thing. It's disgusting. I gotta make it stop being an irritant. And then it goes, and it covers it, and then, and it covers it again, and it covers it, and it eventually makes a pearl. All pearls come from hurt, pain, distraction, suffering. All of them. You think they come from the jewelry store. They come from suffering. Where do diamonds come from? Diamonds, Pastor, you're on a roll. Merry Christmas. Diamonds. Great pressure, great intensity, impossible conditions, geological upheaval. That's the only way you can get a diamond. The only way you can get a Christian life that is valuable, strong, a witness, and it shines, and it's invincible, and it's cutting, as it were. It's through suffering. It's a grace. It's a gift. It's given to us by God. The world suffers. They try to endure. The Christian, because we're Christians, we're in Christ. We've got an incredibly different whole life to live regarding suffering. We're not victims of suffering, Christian. No matter how much pain, no matter how it is, this body suffers because it is made of this world. But the inside man, the born-again person, is being renewed day by day. We are becoming day by day like a pearl, like a diamond. God is at work. Irritants and pressures are what shape us. The amazing thing is, it's just not the irritation or the pressure alone. It's with a purpose. It's how God makes us something. I wrote this down in my notes, that these are lost episodes of the Christian life. When it comes to learning how to live life successfully, we need to learn how to win and lose, because God's in both. We must learn how to suffer well, with expectation from the Lord, as though it is a gift, because the Bible teaches it is. And it's true that suffering for Christians is something that God has ordained. He has said that in his word to us over and over again. I'm going to give you some verses here. We've received an inheritance from God. Number one, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 through 9. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. Oyster, the word is in your heart. Does it irritate you sometimes? Be honest. That's why God puts it in your heart. You can have it tattooed, that's fine. You can have a verse tattooed. Hey, you know what? It's just on your skin. But when the word of God is in your heart, boy, does it create a dynamic. It could create a diamond because it causes pressure. It could create a pearl because it causes irritation. God's going to create something that is awesome, no doubt about it. Verse 7, Deuteronomy 6, you shall teach them diligently to your children, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. Verse 8, you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. So we have received an inheritance. Dial down on verse 7 of Deuteronomy 6. Look at it carefully. Verse 7. You shall teach them, that is, you shall teach them from the very beginning diligently to your children. This is what we're supposed to do. Mom and Dad, we're to teach regarding this inheritance, we're to teach our kids all about God from the very beginning. The Hebrew women in Israel, listen, they wait to say something. They wait to say, the Lord, he is God, in the baby's ear. The baby's just born, and the baby's, you know, trying to settle in. And if you've ever been a mom, sometimes babies don't latch on quick enough, or they got to learn how to, may take them a few days to learn how to start nursing, and it's, sometimes it's a big problem. The Hebrew mom, she'll wait. He ain't going to hear it until something happens. And what happens? They wait. And as soon as she detects, yep, he's nursing, she's nursing, then the mom turns and looks right into the ear, or turns to the ear with her mouth. When she knows the baby's nursing, then she says, the Lord, he is God. Why? Because the baby receives comfort, nourishment, and joy when nursing. In that moment, that's when the Hebrew mom says, the Lord, he's God. I think that's awesome. Yes. Teach them from the very beginning. Listen, this develops. Diligently to your children, and talk of them when you sit in your house. Personal, common, ongoing conversation about God all the time, in your home, every day, all day. When you walk by the way, taking your kids through every situation of life. What does that mean? When you walk, it's not a verse on exercise. When you walk, hey, kids, you see that right there? Oh, look at that right there. Look at that. See that? Pick up that rock. Look what's, oh, look at that. All those bugs under that rock. Oh, look at this. See that bird? Look at that thing. See that? Look at that cloud as you walk. God help our culture. We are dying on the vine because you know what? I was going to take a picture this week. I was at Mimi's restaurant, but then I thought that's kind of an invasion of privacy. Even though we're in a public place, I just thought I better not. There was a mother and a daughter at breakfast, and I could see them for an hour. And both of them texting and looking at their Facebook or whatever they were doing. I know they were because I walked by close enough to spy on them. I did. I just went like that, and I just went, Lord, that is so sad. They're at breakfast. You know what? You could have fed them like grass and like snails. They wouldn't have known because like this. Think of it. No, turn it off. If you have to use it, then text your kids, hey, look to the left. There's a bird right there. God made that bird. What do you think he was thinking about when he made that bird? Of course, I'm kidding. Throw the technology away. I'm getting sick of it myself personally. It's so destructive. And when you lie down, when you take your babies to bed and you lie them down, you tell them, wasn't God good to us today? But mommy, this. No, God was still good. Because you know what? Those are circumstances. Those are appointments from God. We're supposed to learn something through that hard stuff today. But we got a flat tire and God was showing us something. You know how there's air in the tire? Yeah. And then we lost all the air and it went flat, yeah? Well, God says that he's like air, the Holy Spirit. We need him in us to keep us full, right? Now go to sleep. And when you rise up, first thing in the morning, when you rise up, you know what good morning means? We've shortened it. Good morning. Good morning used to be, God be with ye this morning. Good morning. We reduced it. Some country still says it kind of close, good day. You know, that means God's day. Did you know that? God's day to you. Good morning. God's morning to you. The kids wake up. Hey, mom, I don't want to go to school. Good morning and good you are too going to go to school. Whatever it may be. From sun up to sundown, from sleep to sleep. Romans 8:17 tells us, we as believers, as children of God, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, listen to this, that we may also be glorified together. We will suffer in this life. But Christian, your suffering is not without a great, awesome, eternal purpose. Philippians chapter 3, verse 8. Yet indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, trash, that I may gain Christ. Isn't that awesome? What a powerful thing. And to abound. How do I invest in the gains and in the upswings and the good times of my life? Well, Paul tells us how. And these are the questions you would ask. See, here's the thing. This is harder than the first thing. Because when things are good, we don't ask God questions. When things are good, we don't pray. When you're in the hot seat, like Daniel's in the hot seat, like Christian school teachers and Christian police officers are in the hot seat, you're always praying. But when it's easy, you don't pray so much. You kind of take it easy. Watch out. Watch out, because I believe as a Christian, we should always be asking and praying. And the danger with abounding is that we can forget God. Well, I got a great raise. You want to really bring your friend back down to planet Earth after that great raise? Ask him, you're a believer, right? Yep. Why do you think God gave it to you? Are you crazy? To get a Porsche. No. I think abounding has ruined more people than poverty. 74% of people who win lotteries wind up suicide, divorced, or on drugs, or in 10 years after they win the lottery, completely broke. Did you know that? They're not supposed to have gotten rich. They can't handle it. Very few people can. So what do I do with these gains, upswings, and good times? Ask these three questions. Lord, where in your word is the answer for this blessing? Number two, Lord, teach me how to apply this answer that you're going to give me. And three, God, give me wisdom on what to do with it. Wow. We must teach others, especially ourselves, especially our children, that good things of life, blessings of life, are to be managed just like the rough things, church. Paul says, I've learned how to be abased and I've learned how to be abound. You know what he's saying? It's so awesome. He's saying, I just threw everything in the stew. I threw it all in the crock pot. I just turned it on. I put the lid of the Lord on top of it. It's all his. One day on Monday, I may be rich. On Tuesday, Paul would say, I may be poor. Paul says, you know what? And listen, he's not just making up stories here. He's saying, I have learned. Now, listen, none of that stuff translates to personal wealth, meaning, and purpose. It's all nothing unless, as a believer, you give both to God. And you just live for him, and you're free. It didn't matter to him if he had a broken down donkey or a gold-plated camel. It didn't matter. He didn't even care. He didn't even register to him. I would think, Lord, at this season of my life, I would pray, help me to deposit these things into your trust, God. It was asked of Socrates, who is a wealthy man? To which Socrates replied, he who desires the least. And at first when I read that, I went, ooh, that's really good. And then I thought, you know what? That's not so good. Listen, who is a wealthy man? He who desires the least. Did you know he said that? But then Stoics, they became crazy lunatics regarding that. They believed that you should not care about anything of the world. And they thought when they arrived, this is what the state that they arrived at, that nothing of the physical realm bothered them. And it started this way. I'm a Stoic. I'm a philosopher. And the fact that I don't have the palace doesn't bother me. I refuse to care. This is what they would say. I would refuse to care. And then they would say, well, my friend has a gold ring. I refuse to care. That person over there is hungry and cold. I'm a Stoic. I'm a philosopher. I refuse to care. Do you see? My wife is dying and the bed next to me, but I'm a Stoic philosopher. And to arrive to this level of my philosophical detachment from this dirty, evil world, I don't care. I'm above it all. I don't know what you call that kind of a person, but they should be in a hospital somewhere. That is a sick heart. So be very careful. Who am I to contradict Socrates? But I'll tell you this. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 6, verse 6, now godliness with contentment is great wealth. Godliness, listen, love God with contentment. That's true riches. Because there are people who are poor that are not content and they're not godly because they grumble all the time. There are people who are rich who grumble and gripe and they're not content and they're not godly. It doesn't matter where you are. I need to condition my heart to be content in the Lord. To thank God for what I have and to actually thank God for what I don't have.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
Psalm 27 is a great Old Testament response to 1 Timothy 6. David said, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. David, a bazillionaire, mind you, of his day, said, one thing I know is valuable now, and it's this. The very next verse of that Psalm 27, verse 5, we rarely ever read. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret place of his tabernacle. Listen to this. He shall hide me. He shall set me on or upon a rock or a high point, a high rock. I'm blessed to dwell in his presence. And I'm blessed even when I need a high rock. Why would you need a high rock? Times of danger, times of flood. Both ways. Look at verse 12 continues. How to get rich quick is to invest in that which cannot be taken away from you. And we see that we have that which can never be lost in verse 12. Everywhere, listen to this, everywhere and in all things. Wow. I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, to be abound and to suffer need. Real Christianity, real ministry, real life is a real Jesus ministry that's all about other people. Paul is saying, I'm going to serve other people and God will take care of me. It's a tremendous thing. See, Jack, can we really believe God and trust God to do that? Yeah, because first of all, the word full here means, Paul says, I know how to gorge myself. I know how to sit at a potluck and eat until I'm about ready to pop. And I know how to be hungry. The word means to actually, listen, the word means to pinch, to scrape or sift. It means to pick the bone. Think of that for a moment. We, in America, we throw more food away that's still on the bone. Have you ever been to countries where the country, it's a poor country? After they've done eating everything off the bone, they boil the bones and then they drink the water, which is, by the way, very healthy for you. They waste nothing. The acts of God in these situations on both ends of the pendulum are always good. I just find it awesome how Jesus dealt with these things at times, you know, when there were needs. When the masses were hungry, Jesus fed them fish and bread. When the disciples were hungry, he told them to go buy food, which I thought was interesting. When the Israelites were in the wilderness, he just had manna come down from heaven. What does that tell you? It means God will use anything and everything. And we're to realize that what God gives us can never be lost. It can't be lost. We have that which can never be lost. Listen to what Jim Elliot, do you remember the missionary Jim Elliot, who was killed by the very missionaries he was reaching? Listen to this. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. Look at that. What a great statement. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. Give the life away that Christ gives you. What did Jesus say about that? He'll give you a new life. Jesus said in Mark chapter 8, verse 35, for whoever desires to save his life, live for yourself, protect yourself, be a protectionist, all about you, will lose it. Your life wasn't designed for you to protect it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? And what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Jesus isn't saying go out and commit suicide. He's saying go live your life for the recognition, glory, honor, and for the will of God. And in doing that, you'll find the real true meaning as to why you were created. In Matthew 6, verse 19, this is the New Living Translation, says, don't store up treasures on earth. We're experts at this. We even build storage unit areas where moths eat them and rust destroys them, and where thieves break in and steal. Store up treasures in heaven where moths and rust cannot steal, and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will be also. Isn't that powerful? Wherever your treasure is, your heart's going to be in that place. So listen, where's your treasure? Where's your passion? Where's your desire? I need to bring something up because I've tried to avoid this several times and it just keeps popping up. And so if this fits, hang on to this. As far as I know, no one's published any works on this. I'd be open to read anything that's out there, but I'm really curious about something. When we talk about as believers, not being protective of our lives and living recklessly for the glory of God. And we would say it this way, that whatever you and I own belongs to God anyway, right? Are you aware of the fact that God in the Christian's life, God has no problem in merging two economies? Let me explain. There's the economy of this world. Jesus even said in another place, You need to take a lesson away from the unbelieving world. He said they're very smart on how they use their money. He says the children of the kingdom are half as bright on that. Did you know that? Jesus said that. In other words, the world knows what it's doing with money because why? Because that's their God. But they're not stupid. They've developed some really smart things to do. Jesus says you ought to take a cue from them. Why, so I can get rich? No, so you can learn how to manage and steward money right for the glory of God. You look at Franklin Graham. Obviously, his dad was Billy Graham. And I'm so blessed by Franklin because, yes, he can give the gospel, but you want him to preach like his father. Well, if Jesus wanted Franklin to preach like Billy Graham, his father, then he would be preaching like Billy Graham, his father. But he's not. Do you know what he does? His passion is, let's go help people. The more hurt they are and the more dangerous part that they are, that's where we're going. And right now, he's building a multi-million dollar hospital up in northern Iraq to reach people who are being absolutely ravaged by ISIS. And there are people giving him money to do that. But you know what Franklin Graham's doing? He's laying up for himself and all those who invest in what's going on, treasures in heaven.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called How to Get Rich Quick, Part 2. Thanks for listening to this message today. You know, it is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Philippians, a letter from Paul who surrendered his life for the sake of the gospel. And we'll continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Life Radio. You know, no matter what you're facing these days, God is there in the bad times as well as the good times. But when life suddenly takes a turn for the worst, you know God's there, but you still might be wondering if He really cares. We get this idea stuck in our heads that God has more important things to do than to help us with our problems. Well, nothing could be further from the truth. We can rest in God's strength, and He's always nearer to us than we'll ever know. So if that sounds like you, our current featured resource is going to help and encourage you to gain a new outlook on life. It's called Trusting God When Times Are Tough. It's written by Ed Heinsohn. It's a resource packed with biblical truths on how to face a crisis with confidence and turn problems into opportunities. Trusting God When Times Are Tough. It's a must-read if you want to conquer your anxiety, your disappointment, or even feelings of guilt and failure. And we've made this book available for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.